What did the officer say when the bakery was robbed?
What did the officer say when the bakery was robbed?
Correct. That is what I said.
Yeah. Oh, we caught them bread-handed.
Mm-mm.
Well,
what's left of the bread is proof they absconded with the dough.
That's not a joke. It's a series of puns.
It is a series of
that
puns.
That does not qualify as a joke, but it is it a doesn't? Series of puns, and I will allow that.
So, wait, so a pun is... Wait, okay, now we're gonna... A pun is not a joke.
No.
Is that the truth?
Yeah. Because a joke needs a setup and a punchline.
Uh-huh.
A joke is two parts, setup and punchline. Or some kind of misdirect. That isn't a misdirect. It's like when someone tells a riddle and then the solution is something that you could has absolutely nothing to do with the riddle.
Sure. But I had a question.
Okay.
No, I'm saying as part of as...
Right. I mean, yeah, there was a setup.
Yeah.
But there's the a setup. The rug pull is deeply unsatisfying.
Aww. But there's, yeah, I don't know.
And I love you very much.
What type of light fixture's favorite style of music is EDM?
Oh my God. What? You're going to have to run that one by me again, my dude.
What type of light fixture's favorite style of music is EDM?
An electronic fan?
Ooh, that's a good answer. I like that. That's not what I came up with.
No. What did you come up with?
Sconce, 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 sconce. Oh, straight to the correct button.
I know. Oh, well, I've had a lot of practice, Brendan. I enjoyed that one.
Okay, good. How you doing, mate? What's new?
It's been a minute. I know, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Yeah, this is the teaching episode. This is the episode where we get to learn the basics and the fundamentals.
Oh my God, you're full of them today.
I'm just saying it's episode 101.
101, yeah.
101.
Yeah, what is... technically, I don't know if this works. Hang on. That's not what I meant.
What do you mean?
Okay, it doesn't matter. It's fine. I was trying to figure out some sort of binary translation. Yeah, man, so much has happened.
Mm.
You've had a birthday. Ooh. We've had a Christmas. We've had a new year.
Yes.
How was your birthday?
It was really great. Yeah. It was really chill this time. And Margaret and I just spent the day together. Went around town, had some good food. And yeah, we went shopping, got some cool clothes, and yeah, it was good. It was good. Chill
nice.
Time. Yeah. Holidays were good. Family all got along. My mom's energy, intention going into the holidays was like, I'm happy to be alive for this one. So I'm going to kind of not hold myself back on how I want things to go. And she just kind of like ran with her desire on how, what traditions she wanted to keep going and what traditions she wanted to start for my sister and I to take control of later.
Okay.
So we have a, it's all pretty mild and pretty cute, but we have a tradition of a sharing gift as something that comes through. It's like, it's labeled for one person under the tree, but it's kind of meant to bring people together and like do things collaboratively, which is pretty cute. for when it started when I was a kid, when I was like five, I think I opened a present and I had mentioned, like, is this a sharing gift? Like, out of nowhere. It wasn't even a thing yet. I had just asked. And then it became a thing, and that was kind of a cool thing for us as kids a little bit. And we were like, yay, is this a sharing gift? We got to do a sharing gift. And then as we got older and, you know, like early teens and stuff, it's like, fuck, is this a sharing? Like, come on. Yep. I just want my own gift. Yep. And then it became, and as we became adults, it just became kind of tired, not like a problem, but it was just like, oh yeah, okay, we're doing the sharing gift.
Yeah,
we've
got to do the sharing gift. Yeah.
And now it's kind of cute again. We're old enough to appreciate it.
Who buys it? Does each person buy a sharing gift, or is there one sharing gift that's bought by your mum for you two?
Yeah, it's usually a parent to child situation, and yeah, I don't know that there's typically, it's not like mandated, but it kind of just always tends to happen, and it can vary who gives it and who doesn't and stuff, and so it's just kind of a surprise. It's just like a little family thing we do now.
Nice. I've sort of started doing that over the last couple of years with my nephews.
Oh, nice.
In that I buy them a few gifts, and then there's usually, you know, a biggie, a less biggie, sure, and then something quite, you know, like an annual or a comic or something. Then I've started buying like a board game or a card game or something that the whole family, or, you know, their family can play.
Yeah. That
ended up being a hit a couple of years ago. Actually, I bought Kids Against Maturity.
Ooh.
Which was so much fun. Us played it. So there's like seven people playing it on Christmas Day. And that was a barnstormer. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, you know, like it's a nice thing to do if you have the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. So my mom wanted, she loved that idea, and she wanted to play around with that a little bit. And so she implemented a couple new styles. Only one is coming to mind right now, but it was for my sister, and this is a non-sharing gift. Like, you have to have this one alone. This is going to be only for you. And it was a bottle of wine and a single wine glass.
Oh, very, yes, like, that's the, yes. Nice.
Yeah. It was pretty cute. Cause
so that reminds me of something from about 25 years ago, a cute promotion. So my dad was a fan of, I think he's moved on a lot now, but he was a big fan of Macallan whiskey.
Okay.
And he got sent, he must have bought or something. He probably bought a bottle, and then, he must have given his details or something, because he got in the post a bottle of Macallan, and then a glass that you could, it was, the stipulation was, this is the glass that you give to share some Macallan with your friends.
Nice.
And it was a thimble.
Yeah.
Nice.
This is your portion. I get the oversized glass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let's see. New Year's was spent sick and recovering. It was supposed to be the party, but yeah. But this one was way milder than last year. I just took a bath and I felt fine. But we postponed our party to this coming Saturday. In 2 days, we'll have the party.
Cool.
Because didn't want to, you know, pass it along to anybody else. And, you know, like, one person, like, I often have a kind of a, I mean, it wasn't the case last year, but I often have a kind of a milder case of whatever sickness is going around than other people. And so I'm like, you know, I might not be feeling super awful, but like, this could affect somebody else in a different way, and I don't know. So I just don't want to spread it. And yeah, let's see what. Oh, and then we also went to Margaret's family for both Christmas Eve and Christmas morning, which was pretty cool. Had some good food, and we did a Secret Santa this year. We typically have been doing a white elephant. And this year we decided to shake things up and do the Secret Santa, and it was a pretty good success. I think everybody was really happy with what they got, and it was funny. I thought it was funny not like haha funny, but when we decided at Thanksgiving, we decided we were doing Secret Santa. And during that conversation, it came up that Margaret's brother, Tim, didn't have a water pick and was kind of interested in one. And then I pulled his name for Secret Santa. I was like, okay, I'm getting him a water pick. That's easy.
Easily done.
And then when he opened it up, he's like, and it's what seemed like everybody was just like, oh, wow. Like, wow, you thought, like, somebody thought of this. And it was just like, this was no thought. this was easy.
This was remembering. But honestly, I think that goes a long way. Like, the fact that you remembered a thing that
attention.
I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nice. Honestly, when I drew his name, I was like, oh, fuck. I don't know what to get Tim.
Yeah. I wouldn't know what to get Tim, having met him.
Yeah, I mean, sure, yeah. I mean, he like in White Elephant's past, he has gotten a lot of the joke gift.
Sure.
And like, so his style of things that he receives or wants to receive is a little bit of a black box to me. It's like, you like these little funny things, but also I don't really exactly share, you know, our interest, our humor doesn't exactly align. And so, you know, what I could get something that I think he thinks is funny, but then it's not because, you know, it's different or whatever. And so I wasn't really excited for that. And the reason we went to Secret Santa is that Margaret and I were thinking very similar to you of like, we don't want to do the joke gift or the bullshit gift. If we're going to give a gift, we want it to be meaningful. Otherwise, like, let's just not even do gifts. Let's not be part of the consumerism and the capitalism of it all and just...
Yeah. Or at least, like, something that isn't going to go directly into landfill. Like, yeah. that was my thing. It's like, exactly. It doesn't have to be meaningful. It doesn't have to be, like, super well thought out.
Sure.
It just has to not be something that's immediately,
garbage.
Obviously going to get thrown away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so,
which,
yeah.
Didn't work for
oh,
us
no.
this year for in one notable case.
Did you get another keyboard? Another
no,
keyboard?
I was fine. I was fine, but another member of my family was not.
Tell us about it.
So we're not entirely sure. There are two suspects. This is a brilliant whodunit.
Oh, so it's not even revealed?
No.
Oh, ours was a very small pool, and it was very easy to fix. Actually, yeah. It was really funny. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt.
No,
but
go for
since
it.
You're talking about that, Tim was the first one to open any of the presents, so he had no like knockouts. Everybody was available, but there's only five of us total, so there's four people to choose from, and so you know we all guessed after we opened our present who it was, and we would say yes, but. He guessed everybody but me. I was the last person he guessed. I thought that was really funny. Anyways, carry on.
So we have a couple of suspects.
So y'all don't reveal who actually...
No.
Funny.
Some are more militant about that. Like, I don't... I'm,
sure.
I'm fine knowing. I will tell someone if they ask. I don't care. It's fine. It's great.
Yeah.
But there are one or two others who want to retain the mystery. Fair enough.
So what are they just like sheepishly like, well, I don't know who got it for you or what are they?
Maybe a little bit sheepishness on this occasion.
Okay.
Because the gift was a Hawaiian t-shirt, Hawaiian style t-shirt.
Uh-huh.
Where the pattern was an extremely unflattering photo of the shirt wearer.
Oh, wow. It was actually that person. This was specifically made for them. And it was unflattering.
Oh, yeah.
Purposefully it's unflattering?
Yeah, real bad photo. We can only assume it was deliberately for the lols.
Oh.
And exactly, it's like, well, they're never gonna wear that. Like,
yeah.
Okay, it was funny, and it's you know for the bit, cool.
Yeah. Okay, I guess, but yeah.
It's not going to get worn. And it makes that person kind of the butt of the joke because it's not a nice photo. And then what are they supposed to do? Because it's like, you know, it's a kind of a banter gift, and I don't much like banter because everybody's supposed to go, "Hey, it's just banter." And it's like, no, sometimes say something and you're a dick. And
yeah,
but because of the rules of banter, we're not supposed to call that out and say, actually, that's just not nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was out of we mostly did well, but this one particular gift caused a small amount of consternation.
Sure.
Because it was against the rules.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm interested in exploring how we use the word banter differently, because I think of it as just talking back and forth really quickly and kind of like a rapid fire back and forth speaking. Yep. But it sounds like, well, the way you're describing banter, it's more of a like a situation.
Yeah, in a British sense, it is, which is, I think it is a sort of a British English idiom, is essentially banter is playful, sometimes ribbing, doesn't have to be ribbing, okay. But ribbing is part of banter. And it's all supposed to be, you know, how an American might say, "Hey, I'm just joshing with you." Like, it's
sure,
but that bit isn't said necessarily. And so, yeah, it's sometimes it's just an excuse for people to kind
be a
of
little
make
mean.
Fun of people. Yeah, a little bit. And you're supposed to just. There was a period where two of the members of my family were doing the same job, which is notorious for banter culture.
Okay.
And it got brought home, and because they were both in the job, they were both, and it was just for a little while there, it kind of became intolerable.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just like, and you're not allowed to, because that's the thing about it, you're not allowed to go, "Well, that's a shitty thing to say," or like, "I don't find that funny," or like, I wish you wouldn't make jokes about that kind of thing, because they've got you. Like, it's, you know what I mean? It's like, "Ha, I got you." Like, I made you, what's it people used to say? Like, he's getting it. He's having it. Oh, he's having it. Oh, look, everybody. Oh, he's having it. Oh, he's properly having it now. Oh, God, I fucking hate banter.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
It's just mean. Yeah.
British cultural things that's, I think on the wane. It's very blokey. It's kind of a blokey thing, which is getting from
for
people.
Sure.
I don't
for
like
sure.
it very much.
Mm-hmm.
But there you go.
But the rest of the gifts were good. How were the holidays proceeding?
Gifts were good. The holidays were good. I think Christmas went off pretty much without a hitch. Boxing Day, in some ways, is kind of nicer because it's a bit more of a chilled affair. There's loads of food, but it's just like the food's just it's over there. If you want it, go have some, you know, like it's just
that's
in a
great.
Big just in a big vat. You know, we have the vomitorium. And then a couple of days after, and I have to tell you about what happened a few days before Christmas.
Okay.
Specifically 5 days before Christmas, I believe. A couple of days after Boxing Day, I hosted a bunch of the C90 singing group at my little flat. We did karaoke, and I made
nice.
Lots of food. I made lots of vegetarian food. And packed people away. I should have kept some like Chinese takeaway containers. Our Chinese takeaway containers are different from yours. You have the paper things, the paper boxes with the fun corners that we don't have, and people just eat directly out of the things in the films. Ours are not that, which does make them very, very useful and reusable.
Sure. Are they like the black bottom with the clear top plastic?
They're just entirely clear plastic with a lid.
Okay. Okay.
With a good sealing lid.
Sure.
You know, and it will do you a few goes before the plastic starts to crack. You know, And it's like
we got that with our Thai food is like a black plastic rounded rectangle with a clear plastic lid.
Sure, yes,
and we use that use those for handing out leftovers. Yeah. For sure. Yeah,
that's exactly stuff. And I should have had more of those. At the moment everybody's got all of my food storage but I'm expecting to hopefully get that back tomorrow. Like I made a big buffalo mac and cheese which went down very well.
Yummy.
I made a load of potato skins, which I ended up eating most of, because a few of them went on the night, and then I packed some off with someone, and then I just I had like loads left, and so for the next couple of days I was just eating potato skins and it was great. And I made a big veggie chili and it was lovely. So that was all nice.
So did you peeled the potatoes and made those as skins, and then did you use the potatoes as something else? Like mashed potatoes or?
Well, if you peel the potatoes, no. So what I mean when I say potato skins would be bake the potatoes for I was baking. I did quite a few, actually. I really did a lot. I think it was something like 10 potatoes.
Okay.
And, good size baking potatoes.
Sure.
As we would call them, jacket potatoes.
Okay.
And so they go in the oven with salt and pepper and olive oil, so the skin gets nice and crispy. And then you take them out, you halve them, you scoop out all the flesh.
Have them long ways, hot dog ways?
Halve them. Yes, long ways. I don't know. Yeah, I guess it does. Because I was wondering about that. Like, does it matter? I think it probably does. Because you get a more satisfying handful of like a little submarine.
Yeah.
A little boat. Yeah, and so you've got your potato boats. Then you've got those are all hollow now. And then you refill. So you mash up the potato with anything be chives and garlic and butter and cream cheese and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I threw in because I'm a big fan of throwing in jalapeno pickle juice.
Yes.
Because I had some really quite spicy, because often when you buy buy jalapenos here, they're from a brand of shitty quote unquote Mexican food.
Okay.
Called Old El Paso. And they make tortilla wraps and fajita mix and stuff, and they also sell little jars of jalapenos that are nothing. They're on the Scoville scale, they're a
negative
nothing.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. Soothing, if anything. But I'd bought some from the local supermarket, and they were fiery ass pickles. So once I'd scooped all the potatoes out and then individually into the skins, a couple of them they always just they kind of fall apart or whatever. So you always lose a couple.
Yeah.
But then the jalapenos just went on top.
Cool. So I know those as twice baked potatoes, because then you'd put the filling back in, and then you'd toast that a little bit back in the oven again. Yeah.
Yep.
So there cool. Potato skins, twice baked potatoes.
Oh, yeah, made loads of them. We did karaoke, and there was some tears, there was some stuff, but it was all okay. So tomorrow,
how'd you do the karaoke? Was that Apple Music or what's your
What we ended up doing was someone brought a karaoke machine with them.
Oh, there you go.
Which was essentially just a speaker with a couple of wireless mics.
Nice.
Which was great. I say just, it was great.
it's all you need.
And I got confused and technical, because I saw an HDMI connector,
the
HDMI socket. So I was like, okay, well, this does something.
we got to use it. It's here.
This obviously plugs into the TV. And and the person was looking at me really confused. And there was it just, and not really sort of saying what it, okay. And so the TV played the music. The karaoke machine just amplified the voice.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure.
Which I don't think that's what it's for. I think the box is also supposed to play the... But it's fine. It wasn't mine. I wasn't going to do... It's fine. So what we ended up doing, because she pulled out her phone and went to Apple Music and just started screen sharing, mirroring the Apple Music thing.
Yeah.
But it was driving me nuts because it was vertical and she hadn't turned the... vocals. She liked having the vocals up
all the way up.
Yeah, and I'm like, but then you're, the whole it's point not, is, it's not, yeah, yeah.
I get it. Yeah,
and so I, without really saying anything, I just like massively took over, and just did it all on YouTube. And so like people would call out what they wanted, and I just got the karaoke version up on YouTube. And
there you go. Much there you better, go.
Because then it filled the whole screen for a start. It was good. So yeah, that worked really well. Anything more to report, and then I can tell you about what happened before Christmas.
I'll see. Nothing. I want to hear what happened. Tell me what happened.
I put on a show. Well, I didn't, but my people put on a show. We put on a show.
A second one, an additional show?
No, the show that was the show before Christmas.
Yeah. So you told me and Margaret about that on the last episode.
Yes. Did I?
You did.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, fuck my brain.
Yeah, your ride didn't show up.
Oh my God. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it was
good
at a pub.
Grief. And it was Oh, yeah, didn't we speak? God almighty, I have blocked that out of my brain. I mean, I remember speaking to Margaret, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell. Well, screw it. Delete all that. That didn't happen. Delete all that.
Deleted.
So sorry.
No worries. You're just really excited. I mean, it was an awesome.
Another one? Yeah. Another, what?
What, a second one? Wow.
I definitely didn't tell you about the show I told you about. couldn't have done that. All right, fine.
for the back of the episode, yes. Actually, so I've been editing in Riverside.
I edited it.
That was really great. When you sent that to me, it just said, you know, like the notification says, yes. I edited it in all caps, and then a link, and then it says, you know, link to Pete Holmes video, and I was like, damn dude, you edited Pete Holmes video? Oh great, I can't wait to see this. And then I opened it up and he's like, I edited it. I'm like, oh. It's a failure of human language.
Too many dit-dit-dits.
It's like marbles falling down the stairs.
That is the most Brian Regan adjacent bit I've heard in a long time. Mm-hmm. It is so, he could have written that. For Regan could have written that and performed that, and it would have felt completely natural.
Absolutely.
And that's not a slam on Pete Holmes.
No.
But it's just like, it's such a lovely bit.
It is. Yeah, agreed. I've been seeing clips of Kumail Nanjiani's new special on Disney Plus or Hulu or whatever, and man, that's funny. I can't wait to see that stand-up special.
Yep.
That looks really good.
Yeah, he's the only person who's made fun of for getting in shape.
Exactly. When did that happen? Why didn't anybody tell me? And he's like, every time I'm tempted by having a piece of cake, I think it would make you all so happy, and fuck you.
Poor guy.
I know.
We get to watch him soon on Taskmaster.
Oh,
that's so
he's fun.
Yeah, he's following the steps of Jason Mantzoukas, who was in the...
That's Ted Lasso, right?
Oh, is Jason... Oh, that is a different guy. Yeah, it's a different guy. Oh, that's going to annoy me now.
No, Ted Lasso actor. Oh, yeah, he was the guy on...
He's been in lots of things. He was in, Jason Sudeikis. That's it.
Yeah,
Sudeikis. So, yeah, Mantzoukas is, like 30. What was it? Brooklyn Nine-Nine and The Good Place. Lots and lots of things. Oh, and in Big Mouth. Lots of things.
Oh, wait, was he the guy in the middle place of The Good Place?
No, he was a... he was Derek! Who was he was Janet's boyfriend that she made. And then at the end, he goes to live with Mindy from the Medium Place at one point.
Right. Yes, that's what I'm thinking of.
And
says, my
ding dong is a wind chime.
Yeah. I just watched him on Men on the Inside. Netflix
the Ted Danson.
Yeah.
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 Is that any good?
It was good. I enjoyed it a lot, actually.
Yeah.
It was really cute and very well put together little mystery detective thing. And it's really adorable watching Ted Danson as an old man feel like he's becoming a spy, and he puts a little pocket square in his jacket whenever he's in spy mode so that people will know that he's spying now, and all these little adorable things. It's really cute. I liked it a lot.
I really like Latter-day Ted Danson.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, go on.
Oh, no. Yeah. After you, sir. Jason Mendoza's.
Jason Mendoza. Right. Oh, God. Yeah, right. Okay. we're a few things in here, because I do want to talk about, since you mentioned mystery...
Yeah.
I do want to talk about Stranger Things.
Okay.
Because there's
not
a
seen
lot.
I haven't seen anything since season one.
Okay, fine. I think that's fine. I'm not going to talk about the actual show. Okay.
Cool.
So Jason Mendoza's was in a couple of seasons back. He was in Taskmaster. He's the first.
That's got to be funny too.
That's got to be what?
That's got to be super funny.
Yeah, it was
I'm
good.
Sure
it was good.
Was a blast.
He was the first big Hollywood, and only big Hollywood name to do the show. Not Hollywood, but you know what I mean. He's a big stinking deal.
Yeah.
And so Kumail is now the next one who's doing
Funny.
It, and it's one of those things. It's because it's like it's one of those shows. They tried it in America, it didn't work. Because I think there's just something about the dynamic of the two presenters and all the rest of it that makes it work, but it didn't work in the States. But comedians like it. They like doing the show, and they and so it's one of those things where there's a clip of Kumail talking to someone, probably on a podcast, where he's talking about his agent saying, what do you want to do this? It's not that many people are going to see it, which is actually not true because it's all over YouTube, but that's fine.
Yeah.
It's not, you're probably going to lose money doing it. It doesn't pay that well. It doesn't pay like the US, which is absolutely right, of course. And he's like, yeah, but I want to do it. And it's becoming one of those shows.
Yeah.
And he's going to be really good in it. So I'm looking forward
Amazing.
To seeing Kumail Nanjiani. Can we talk about Stranger Things?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay.
What's interesting about it?
Oh my God. So the finale dropped on New Year's Day.
Okay.
And I stayed up to watch it because it dropped at 1 a.m., I think, UK time. And so I was looking forward to it and watched it, and it was 2 hours and change. And I had a really good time. Loved it. Great. Lots of people, there's discourse. Lots of people not happy.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Lots of people not happy.
Lots of people not happy.
When does that ever happen?
Fine. Don't care. As I posted to the internet a couple of days ago, I watched it. I enjoyed it. It was fun and loud, and I have other interests.
Mm-hmm.
Cut to 2 days ago, and there is a bubbling on the social media that there is obviously this whole thing was a fake episode. There's a real one coming because plot reasons. There's some stuff, but it's like, oh, that's why it's That's why this character, there's this discontinuity between these two characters and this thing. Because there's a secret episode 9 that they're going to release. And there's like all this internet sleuthing going on. Mm-hmm. And it's all under the umbrella hashtag conformity gate. Because it's all about like conforming to the big bad guy who I don't think is introduced until like season maybe 3. Okay. So it won't make sense to you at the beginning, but sure. And it doesn't matter. But like it's called conformity gate, and that's the name of this like thing that everybody's like getting their string and connecting it to lots of different pieces of paper.
Sure.
And so people are finding all sorts of stuff. Like if you go to the Netherlands Instagram page for Netflix, it has this message, which is in Morse code. The guy who plays the big baddie was on Jimmy Fallon or Kimmel or one of the Jimmies on January the 6th.
Title.
Yeah. And made a reference to Tomorrow It Begins. And there's been all sorts of... Netflix posted an image of one of the characters, and in the clock, if you look at the clock, it says, it points to 107. That video I just mentioned was exactly 1 minute and 7 seconds.
Oh, now it's coming together.
Yeah. Cause, like, this is the thing. Like, there is stuff.
Sure.
That video where he said, tomorrow it's coming, tomorrow being January the 7th, as you would write it, 0107.
Yeah.
The video was 1 minute and 7 seconds long. It was posted at 10:07 at night. So
amazing.
Someone
is fucking with
some
everybody
people. There is a right. And there was the they've had as a tie, they've had this really cute promotion where they've had a radio station called WSQK The Squawk. And it was a station you could legitimately tune into, and it was online and stuff. And they had some stuff. And so, like, all of these things were coming together. And then there's a whole load of stuff about the actual episode itself and characters looking a particular way and these things weren't right and all this kind of stuff. And I was so tempted because I was, at this point, I was like, something is definitely dropping. It would be the coup of the century if they pulled off a secret episode 9. Considering, as some people pointed out, the joy killers, that like episode 8 got a theatrical release. Like people went to cinemas to watch it.
Cool.
It was huge. Like
yeah,
the idea that they would then go, oh no, one more, like squeak out another one. It's just like batshit. And it's like, yeah, but this is fun. It's January. It's dark. We're all back to work. This is fun.
It's dark.
It's just fun to speculate, you know?
Yeah. So yesterday was the 7th.
And mm-hmm. it was supposed to be all the signs, whatever, were pointing to it being 8 p.m. EST. Which again, I think was 1 a.m. my time.
Sure.
And I went to bed. I was like, I'm not going to wait up for this. And I woke up, as I often do in the middle of the night, needing a pee. So I went down, had a pee, came back, and I thought,
welcome to your 40s.
Yep. Let's just have a look. Let's just look. Because there's all sorts of like speculation about you open the Netflix app and you can like there was this really dumb one where and people have been doctoring screenshots and passing them off as real. Like, I've seen a few of those this morning.
Of course, you can't trust anything on the internet.
Yeah, but people are saying like if you type secret ending or something like that into Netflix search. Stranger Things comes up, and it's like, yeah, Stranger Things comes up. So do a bunch of other fucking stuff, because when Netflix doesn't... Like, Netflix is almost never going to give you... It's never going to give you nothing, because that's bad business. It's always going to say, we don't know what the fuck...
And also, the words secret and ending could definitely be correlate with... with the topics addressed in Stranger Things.
Yeah, absolutely.
A secret underworld and the ending of lives, or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. There was a bunch of Kremlinology on that one. But what I will say is, when I opened the Netflix app yesterday, it did have the new episode badge. And then I went in and looked, and there was nothing. And so, yeah, I woke up this morning because I thought, well, now is the time. It will have propagated. It will have done its thing. I opened up. Yeah, nothing. And I think I might have gone to Netflix's TikTok or Netflix's Instagram. And then I saw, I was like, I'm not going to stay up. I'm not going to like, but I scrolled a couple of videos to see if there's something new, because the algorithm had been delivering me lots more conformity gate videos because I was going down the rabbit hole and having a whale of a time. So I was like, I reckon if I just scroll a couple of times, TikTok is going to give me a conformity gate video. Because there was one guy in Scotland who's been going mad and posting videos, and he was up at like one. Sure. And I can't remember if it was him or someone else posted a video that was like, if there was anything, it was just a PR stunt, because they've just Netflix have just released their slate of programming for the next whatever, the next year. Okay. And it's like, they were doing stuff, but it was really just to make sure, like, don't cancel your subscription, because that might be something that you'll like. And it's like,
of course.
Fuck. Yeah. What's been fun is the after shocks of this is the people who are still kind of clinging on. And I was very aware, and it's interesting, like, from a, I don't know, like, when we talk about, we've talked about, like, how you can't fight facts with facts. Right. I did the thing that is completely human nature, but we all do it, and we all blame other people when they do it.
Okay.
Of seeing hard evidence that this is not the case,
sure,
and then doubling down and then going, right, well, that must mean then it's the front, because they're releasing something on the 12th, there's a documentary coming out on the 12th, so then that's what it'll be. And it's just like, and I caught myself going, you're doing that thing, you're doing, like, this is what flat earthers do.
Yeah.
You present them the evidence and they go, no, that just proves the exact opposite. It's like, motherfucker, it does not prove the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It proves the thing that I do. But, you know, we do that because we don't want to relinquish this thing that we've got such a tight hold of. And I thought that was really interesting. So it was a wild couple of days on the internet.
Wild indeed. Wild indeed. I mean, it's like, okay, enjoy it if it comes out.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah,
you know. So the idea of the
Stranger Things producers being like, okay, somebody like get all our B roll and cut footage and stuff, and like just cobble together an extra episode, just like out of context, but make it make sense and throw that out there real quick. They're going crazy out there. We gotta give them something.
They need it. Yeah. man, it's a lot of it stemmed from the fact, and again, like, I don't think it's a spoiler. It's not a spoiler. Lots of people were dissatisfied with, they thought the writing had gone downhill and all these. So me and my brother were talking about this and going, I think you might be remembering Stranger Things wrong.
Sure.
Because it's always been, you know, like,
campy.
Yeah, and kind of schlocky, like, but it, yeah. You know, but it, like, it's been tributes to different things from the 80s. 80s things were very earnestly, but not particularly necessarily well written. You know, like, there's all that stuff. It's all there. And, you know, people were going a little bit ham on like, people accusing, the AI thing now of, like, people accusing creators of using AI. Like, I saw someone post, it might have been on Blue Sky, like, bloody AI slop, with an illustration from Netflix, from the end credits of Stranger Things. And then I saw a video a couple of days later. It was like, no, a guy drew that. Just because you don't you're like unfamiliar with how the fingers have curled around this gun. You've assumed that there are more fingers than that. No, guy just drew that, and he drew it from a photo. Like, let's all maybe calm down a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely feel, though, like I, with my little adventure into AI movie creating, video creating for this party of making visualizers for songs, which was both fun and infuriating. with how realistic things can look, it's just like, I can't trust any video that's 8 seconds or shorter. And once that limit is broken, because eventually that limit will be broken, just any video is super questionable. I have no idea. I've turned on YouTube videos, and like it'd be like a music video or something else, and I'm just staring at it. I'm like, wow, these people look so pretty. Like, they're so clean, and yeah. Oh my god, it's AI. Oh wow, yeah. Fuck. You know, like just like the craziest things. It's fucking wild. It's.
Yeah, I'm not massively loving the state of the internet at the moment.
No, it's broken.
It's broken. But I am playing around with aggregating data about stuff that's happening, like local events, like gigs and quiz nights and film screenings and various things. 'Cause as you may remember, back in 2024, I was toying around with the idea of doing a podcast for my city.
Yeah.
And it's been an idea that's never left me. And it came back again early this year. Well, like, it came back, like, this week. And so I started gathering data for it. Because, like, one of the big things I knew that I would want to do is be able to look at, literally just have a calendar feed. Of like, nice. Here's everything that you might want to bring to people's attention.
Yeah.
And you can pick and choose. And I wrote a pilot episode and I gave it a shot and I just sent it to a friend. And then I was like, this isn't it. This isn't it. And I know, like, I'm not going to want to do this every week. But I knew there was something nagging, and it was about, there's a couple of things. One of them is just, I mean, not so much now because it's dark and dreary, but like being out in the world, experiencing what, you know, the local area has to offer and fun things and meeting new people. And also being kind of woven into the fabric as someone who runs a community project, like wanting to collaborate with other community projects and just feel like part of the fabric. And so at the moment, I'm just like, I'm sitting on all this data and I've got the thing that can grab it up to date every hour. And I'm like, I'm scraping websites because, you know, there's plenty of events that like are not listed on like Eventbrite or whatever.
Sure.
And I've built a thing, because of course I have, that can scrape all of these web pages and try and infer like this event is happening and here's the link and here's an image and stuff. And I'm like, I'm gonna do something with it. I don't know what. I like looking at it because it's cool. Because it's just like, there's so much going on that could be fun to go to.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And I could put it on a map. And ooh. I can filter it, and I can, you know, tag it. And it's like,
maps are fun.
You know, I've built a tiny little API to surface all this info. And I was having a chat with ChatGPT today to be like, I don't think I can sell access to this. But like, can I sell access to this? And ChatGPT was like, no, dude, no. because like most terms of service are like, you can use it non-commercially, but explicitly you can't like vend your own API on top of our API, basically. So it's like, don't care. That's fine. But something in it that like, even if I just end up using it as a way of figuring out what to go to next, or, you know, popping it on the website for people to browse. Maybe even, I think the thing I probably will do is make a simple email newsletter that just like pumps out Here's a bunch of stuff that's happening. Here's your weekend, you know, guide or whatever.
Here's your weekend.
Yeah, here's your weekend. And, you know, but something that I have familiarity with, which you may or may not remember, back from like 2021, creating a little, giving people the ability to like choose, like, don't show me anything that's this tag.
Sure.
You know, so don't show me anything to do with like cinema, for example. And it's like, cool. Or only show me cinema, you know. Right. And that's all doable as well. So like, yeah, it's got some... it's just like, it's nice just playing around with things with no pressure, because touch wood right now, hopefully for the next like 10-11 months, I'm gonna be reasonably occupied and paid.
Sweet.
So it means that I can kind of just play without like having to try and make the next thing.
Nice.
Which is quite nice.
Nice. A few things came to mind, unrelated, but related a little bit. A follow up from last episode about friends for myself, follow up question from last episode about your meeting with your guy. And then, I had another little story about my anger that came up, just 2 days ago, and having to make an 80-year-old man sad.
Whew.
You want to just go in that order?
No, I think I feel like I've dominated this portion. So do you want to tell us that story?
Yeah. So I have been trying to get a wood burning stove in my house for a while now, and it's been a dream for a long time. Especially since I've been in this house, I've been very aware of the electric bill, because I'm doing my own bills now as a divorced man, and built this house. And I was like, or I didn't build the house, but I've rebuilt the house, and I've installed, you know, radiant heated floors, and I installed radiant heaters on the ceiling, and I installed a ductless HVAC system, and my electric bill is really high, and I was thinking, oh, it must be, and it gets higher in winter, of course, and I was like, oh, it must be, you know, this thing or that thing, and I kept turning the breaker off for whatever I thought the problem was, and the bill would not change, and I'm like, okay, I don't really understand what's going on. Eventually I figured out it was actually a bad refrigerator, and replaced the refrigerator, and my electric bill's gone down by like $60 to $80 a month.
Wow.
Which is just insane. For it was just like I was just wasting energy and throwing money away for years, because I didn't have any idea that this, anyways. So That all that context informed me really wanting to have a wood burning stove, so that it would be cheaper to have nice, wonderful, beautiful heat in the house without using electricity. And on top of like loving wood burning saunas and just the coziness of it all, and the look and all these things. So I finally got to a place where I was like, it's time, you know, winter's coming, and I want to get this installed for us. And there's this really cute little place close by called Buck's Stove Palace. I told you about this, I think. I told you about meeting Buck and walking in there, and
yes,
we had...
Yes, I do remember this.
Yeah. And we had a really weird first interaction, and it didn't stop being weird throughout our interactions. And so it's been months. It's been like 2 months or more since I walked in there, and like I was constantly kind of redirected and told it's, you know, almost ready, or I'm working on it, or this and that. And it's just like, I eventually got fed up, and I'm like, fine, I'll just go elsewhere. There's other fireplace stove shops here in Portland.
Dude, where's so my
I reached out to a couple others, and you know, to varying degrees of responses. And then Buck started calling me again, and he's like, "All right, I got some stuff ready." I'm like, "Okay, like I just really want to get the stove, like whatever is the fastest way to do this." And I get there like a week and a half ago, and so there's on top of everything else, there's a little bit of a time pressure because there's a 30% tax credit offer that's expiring at the end of the year. It's a something that, you know, the Trump administration is not going to renew, but you know, the previous administrations had created this tax credit for, like, if you use a non-electric heat source, then we can, you'll be saving money, you'll be saving the grid some extra work, so we want to benefit that.
Nice.
So yeah, so I'm trying to, you know, also get this little tax credit going and other things. And so, you know, and Buck, so he's like 80, he's in his 80s, he's early 80s. He's been in the industry for like 60 plus years. And so, like, part of me is like, I want to shop here because I want to support a local small shop. I want to get knowledge from somebody who has been in this industry and like really knows their stuff and like has a great reputation and is an old wise man. You know, he's had experience. Like, I want to absorb from my elders. You know, I don't have I don't have a lot of elders and mentors around me anymore. And I'm like, I still want that and I respect it. And but you know, like, somebody in that phase of life is operating on a different clock. And for me, like, I've got so much to do. I feel like I have so much to do. And like, a big part of what I'm supposed to do is like not do. And like, that's really frustrating. But I'm like, I'm looking around me, and my eyes just see task lists on all of the walls and doors and objects. Oh. Like, everything is just a task that needs to be checked off. Oh. And So I'm working with Buck, and like, a week and a half ago or so, I take delivery of the stove. He's like, "Yeah, we've got the stove here for you. It's 200 pounds. And so they, ooh, you know, me and two other guys lift it up into the back of my truck, and they lend me this hand truck that has a crank and a lift on it, so I can take it down from there. And so I get that, and I get half of the equipment it takes to install the piping to vent it out. And so I bring it home, I put it in my house, and I got all the stuff outside ready for me to get the rest of the stuff so I can install it. And I still don't know what the cost is, what the price is. Like, two months ago, I asked him, and throughout this time, I'm like, okay, so what's the final price here? Like, for all the parts and pieces I need, like, you've seen my house already. You've done a material list. Like, what's my number? I'm looking for how much do I need to go to the bank for?
Let's go. Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'll get it. Oh, I'm working on that. I'll call you back in an hour and a half. And then 2 hours later, I call him because he hasn't called me. And he's like, "Oh, okay. You're ready for it?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've been sitting here ready for it." Like, and this happens like many, many, many times. And so he finally gets me the number. It's $1,000 more than I expect. Ugh. And the stove and the materials are like already in my house. I feel like it'd be hard to return it because it's 200 pounds. And like, so I feel not obligated, but like kind of stuck. And also, I want it, and it's fine that's that price. And actually, that price is pretty comparable to the other prices that I got immediately from other places and stuff. But it was not what he'd kind of led me to believe based on a couple of conversations. And so it was like, oh, this is really disappointing. So eventually, I pay him. He gets me all the stuff. I now have everything I need. But as I'm paying him, I'm letting I tell him, I'm like, hey man, I gotta let you know, this was a really this is a really challenging couple of months trying to buy this stove from you. It was full of anxiety and questions that I kept getting the runaround. I feel kind of not hoodwinked, but like I was led to believe one thing and then it turned out to be very different. And this is all like really disappointing. This is not a great experience for me. I'm really happy to have this new product and it was really interesting to work with you, but like, I'm not happy. And he, you know, was very sad. He was very like, oh, I'm really sorry. Like I did not want to make a bad experience for you. And he's like, this is why I'm retiring. I can't really do it anymore. My mental capacities aren't here as well as they used to be. And like, this is really hard for me. And I'm really sorry that that's affected you so hard. And it's like, oh fuck. Well, damn. Like, oh, I get it, but also, damn.
Oh,
ouch.
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, I didn't make him sad. Like it just happened. It's not, I get that, but also, it was a day where I felt like I needed to have these hard conversations, and so I had it, and I was like, ugh. Yeah.
How did it resolve?
I mean, that was it. I've got the stove and parts now, so I can
that particular interaction.
Soon.
He says, my faculties are going, like,
he asked, what can I do to make it better?
Sure.
And I was like, I mean, you know, like, sure, like a dis, like I told you, not only was it $1,000 more than I was led to believe, but also I've had to take off multiple days of work to be able to pick this up and get this. And I've been running around, like, we had an appointment for 11. And then he pushed it back to 12, and then, and I was going to go to him, and then he wasn't ready for me. So then he's like, I'll be there at 1. I'll be at your place at 1 instead of you coming to me. And I called him at 1:15, and he's like, oh, you're ready for me? And I'm like, yeah, I've been here. And so he comes around 2:30 finally. He comes around 1:30, and we're done around 2. And he's like, okay, call me at 3 and I'll be ready with the number. And I'm like, and so I call him at 3:15 I call him at 3 and he didn't answer. I called him at 3:10, didn't answer. I called him at 3:15, he answers, and I finally get the number. And so then I go to the bank and get him the stuff. And then when I get there, he has two other people that he's like, he has one person that he's just bullshitting with because it's an old installer that he's been working with for 40 years. And they have a lot of catching up to do or whatever. I don't know. And then there was somebody else that was also waiting for stuff to happen. And then I was there. And so I didn't get out of there until 5, about 5. And I'm like, I still have a day's worth of work to do. Like, I need to go to my job and get some shit done. And it was just so, so he's like, you know, what can I do to make it better? I was like, well, you know, if you can do a discount, that's great. Like, I don't know. I don't know. And so he's like, he marks it down by $210. And it's like, great. Now nobody's happy. You know, it's like, he has to suffer with not getting as much money as he wanted and needed. And I have like, that's not nearly enough to cover the difference in what I was expecting. So cool. But now I have all the things I need to install the stove, and in the nearish future I will install them and we'll have a wood burning stove. So that's really, and it's really cute. It's like 1 foot wide and 2 feet deep and about 2.5 feet tall, and it's kind of a bluish black, which goes really well with the blue tile on the floor. And yeah, it's just really adorable. And there's a spot in the front for a kettle or whatever. And that'll be nice.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's exhausting. Yeah. But on the brighter side, on a better topic, calling back to our previous episode where my task was not task, but yeah, a thing I was leaving with was holding space for a new close friendship here in person in my life. And
not with Buck, though.
Say that again?
Not with Buck, though.
Yeah, not with Buck. No. Buck, no. And yeah, after clearing space from the other guy that was living here, having more space in both physically and mentally and emotionally, and right after our call ended, I reached out to both of those friends, the two friends that I was thinking of during that conversation, and one I was able to go hang out with immediately, and it was a great hangout. And like at the end of it, he was like, "Man, I love hanging out with you." And it was just like this, like I can really feel that this is something brewing. So I reached out to him again, and we're going to go see a comedy show together, and we've got something really good brewing, and it's really exciting. And then the other guy has been wanting to start a weekly jam session.
Oh yeah.
And I finally let him know, like, hey, I have this time available and we're going to make it happen starting this Sunday. I'm going to do some music. And so it's not just hanging out with a friend, but also getting back into physically making music again, which is great. It's really good for me. So I'm excited. I'm excited for those things.
Yes, dude.
Yes.
Oh, that's wicked.
Yeah.
Friends.
Yeah. Oh. And then Margaret came last night to my candlelight meditation group for the first time. And that was really fun. We had a great meal and some meditation, and we cleared our chakras.
Oh, nice.
And yeah.
Gotta get them cleared.
Yep. We had little a set of tuning forks, and we would hit the tuning fork and then hold it on the different corresponding spot of our body and feel the vibrations. It was pretty cool because you couldn't really hear the tuning fork. It wasn't like loud and audible, but when you touched it to your body, you could feel it and hear it. And yeah, it was a cool experience. I liked it. But yeah, last little bit, I had a question of how you had talked about going to your guy had kind of had a little spiky kind of pushing attitude, and you thought you were gonna talk to him more about that. And I was curious if you had.
So Tuesday ended up being a bit of a back and forth runaround day. I went to go and get breakfast at a place that we have, in fact, had breakfast when you were here. I do that typically when my cleaners are in. I'm not a fancy little princess. I have cleaners because they are able to see things that I might not.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
You're my fancy little princess for sure.
Thank you, darling. and so I was like, okay, good, right? And it was snowing. It had snowed.
Sure.
But yeah, fine. So went and clumped my way up to the place. And God, I remember. In fact, I think when we did it, it was raining. It was horrid, and we ended up walking there in the rain.
Is this the Red Dragon, or what's it called? The Red?
Oh, it was the, this was Loco Lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Where, that we went to before the cinema. Had my breakfast, and then it came time to go and see my guy. So I got on the bus and pull out my phone, and I see a notification badge on an email account that I don't check as often. I don't really know why. I know why I used it. It's not important. But I don't know why I gave it to my guy.
Sure.
But that's his way of contacting me.
Yeah.
And there was an email from 8:25 in the morning saying, I'm going to work from home today because it'd be snowing. And I don't know if it's safe to travel. So are you cool with Zoom or whatever? And I was like,
yeah,
shit. Well, I'm already on the bus to go see you.
Yeah.
It's not your fault that I didn't see this message, but also could have texted me, but that's fine. And I should say, these last few days, I've been in a pretty, like, I've been getting out of bed the right side.
Oh, great.
So I've been in good chipper moods.
Nice.
I think the drugs are working. And sweet. Yeah. So I was like, I mean, it's a bother, but it's like, I'm not bummed out about it.
Yeah.
And I'm not anxious about it. Like, I'll figure out, I'll try and find some, because like, I don't like skipping sessions. And especially like, if it's technically my fault, then I've got to pay for this session. Like that, you know, I don't want to be faffing around with that. So I try and find somewhere quiet to sit. And I'm thinking, well, I can sit outside because I've got my big coat on. And then I look and it's like, oh no, everything's covered in snow. So like all the benches and stuff, they're all covered in snow. Yeah. So I go indoors and I find this quiet area. It's always quiet. And I think, this will be fine. I can set up. I've got amazing 5G coverage here. Lovely. That'll nice. Work all right. And then like it comes to a minute before my session's supposed to start and I start to see people milling around. And I'm like, fuck, okay.
Well, of course.
And so I email him and I said, I don't feel... Can we reschedule? Because I don't feel kind of safe, to be able to be open.
Vulnerable,
And so we figure out timings, and it ends up being 5:30 that evening. That he suggests, and nice. I'm like, cool, great. So I get on the bus home. The cleaners haven't been,
of course.
So I needn't have gone out anyway. And had I not been rushing around cleaning up for the cleaners before the cleaners came, I might have seen his message, but that's okay. 90 minutes or 2 hours later, they arrive. And
they're there at 5.
Oh god, no. Luckily it was all right. They do their thing and I try and keep out of their way, and because I don't love it. I don't like being in the... I don't like it. I don't like it. So that's fine. I do my thing. And they leave, and then I have to go and get my finger injected with a steroid. Because some point in 2024, I developed a thing called trigger finger.
Sure.
Which I think came about because of having a trackpad instead of a mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would always keep my pinky finger elevated so as not to interfere with the trackpad. And I think...
Because you're a little princess.
Because I'm a little princess. And I think months of doing that...
Sure.
Created the surgery.
So you got... I assume it's maybe like cortical steroids or something?
So got jabbed up. Mm-hmm. Very quick, in, out, and home. And then, because I knew that was coming. My guy had originally said 5, and I was like, I'm not sure I'll be back in time, because I don't know. Like, I wasn't sure if they were going to, like, numb.
Yeah.
I've never, you know, had this before, so I was like, I don't know if they numb me, if there's, like, a whole thing. Like, I had a bit of paperwork to sign, but that didn't take long. But, you know, like, I was in and out within, like, 8 minutes. And so I got back and I was like, listen, if you want to meet 30 minutes earlier, we can. But we ended up meeting at the normal time or the time he suggested. So 5:30 sat down. We got into it. And I talked about the fact that like I'd closed the door on that session and gone, well, that's £70. I'm never going to get back. We had a really good conversation. And part of the reason I tell that story is he said, like, not to blow smoke up my own ass, but I finished work at 5, and I'm like, yeah, like I thought, you know, I'm thinking like I want to respect this guy's boundaries.
Yeah.
He's like, I finished work at 5, but your message about saying I want to reschedule because I don't feel like this is the right environment, made me want to double down on, like, or like, sort of make good on this commitment or something like that. Because, and we were talking about care, like it was an interesting moment where he sort of brought up like whether, and the way I'm going to phrase this is going to sound needy, and I don't mean it to, and I don't think that was his intention either. But there was a question about like whether I feel a sense of care from him.
Mm.
And again, it wasn't like a challenge, and it wasn't like in the light of what we discussed. Don't you think I can? Like, it wasn't that.
Sure.
But it was like, no, I very much do.
And
I'm committed to this process. And I think it was just a another way of him to say, like, he's committed to this as well. And so that's, you know, and like almost as a sort of a token of like appreciation or something, he was willing to eat into his evening, which I thought was quite a nice thing, which I appreciated. But yeah, we got into it and talked about, not sort of understanding what he was getting at, and actually we got into a thing where he sort of said, you know, I'm conscious that you might take this as a criticism, but it felt like there was something you lacked the language for, and I said, yeah, and then like. I stopped, like I just stopped, like because you know, partway through the session, like I shut down, like I didn't know
right.
what he wanted or what I was supposed to do or what I was supposed to think, yeah. and I just shut down. And like it was interesting to talk to him. And he was like, "Yeah, I think that's what happened. I think I noticed that." And so that like the whole session was kind of interesting, and. Yeah, like that's the most, like it wasn't confrontational, but it was a time where I was able to sort of say, well, you know, this is an area that I was dissatisfied about. And yeah. because there's such deep trust there, like I knew I could, like I never knew it was going to be a problem to talk to him about it. Cause I knew he'd probably go, oh, that's interesting. Like, let's talk about it. Like I knew he wasn't going to be offended.
Mm-hmm. But this is the real cool thing about a therapy grouping that you do feel the trust in is that you can have we're different humans. We're going to have interactions that are not perfect or pleasant or, you know, the right thing that was said or anything like that. And people can miss cues, miss signals and everything. But having that trust to be able to come back the next week and being like, hey, that wasn't great for me. And yeah, let's learn from it. Let's and on both sides, you know, it's not like one person did wrong, but it was like, you know, you shut down. And so that's something for you to learn. Why did I shut down? Maybe I shut down in other areas. How can I learn to adapt from that or try to understand people differently or whatever? And that he can learn how to do his job better.
Yeah.
and all the different things.
Yeah. And it's that trust that means I don't know. There was something there that was very real and it disappeared. It was so nearly there. There is that trust that means I don't know. That's fine. I don't know. I appreciate the fact that I enjoy like even when it's difficult.
Yeah.
I was gonna say I enjoy my time. That's not right. But like most of the sessions, I tend to find them quite enjoyable because there are moments, and we've talked about it, where like we kind of just meet each other as people, which is really nice. We're just having a conversation as people because he's a smart guy, and I appreciate like I feel like he's in certainly in areas of language and probably and certainly in perception, like he's way smarter than me, obviously, as he should be. He's a therapist, and I like that because I would definitely feel. Like if I thought my therapist wasn't, you know, like smarter I'm not saying I'm a genius, but if I thought that, you know, I was maybe smarter than my therapist, I think it would be a difficult relationship because I think there needs to be a hierarchy. I don't think it can be because like, I don't think it can be completely equal. It's not like he uses it as a weapon, but he, well, you know, certainly he needs wisdom that I don't have because otherwise,
right.
like, you know, and again, it's not about having the answers, but having the wisdom to guide the right questions, and to know that if something comes back and it's spiky, right, that he is resilient enough to deal with that. And it's like, I find it fascinating. I find him really interesting because I know he gets emotionally impacted by stuff, the things that we talk about. And that means a lot as well, because and one of the things when we talked about care, like I sort of said, like this doesn't feel, for want of a better word, clinical. Like I've always felt that sort of, there is an emotional component here, which I feel really keenly. And the word that just came to mind is like, and like, again, like boundaries are really important here, and not, and I'm not looking to change those, but like there's something about companionship, in a sense of like, for an hour a week or 50 minutes a week walking together, and sort of navigating stuff, again, like with trust and with compassion and with care, and with humor, and with intelligence and trust and all that good stuff. So yeah, it's like it was a really valuable little chat, and
that's great.
Yeah,
love it.
Therapy's good.
Yeah, Margaret and I are just starting a new couples therapist.
Ooh.
Yeah, we just had our initial phone call this morning, and we'll see if I think we're going to continue with it. And
yeah,
I'm excited to see what comes. We think we're probably going to do between 6 months to a year of that. And yeah, it's been a minute since I've been in a therapy session, so I'm happy to get back to it.
Yeah,
got work to do.
Yeah, the couples dynamic, I think, is that's got to be very, very interesting and very different.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's an interesting position where I find myself, I'm going to be explaining something to a third person who has no context and no knowledge of the situation and the problems.
Yep.
But in the room with somebody who is very aware of the problems and context.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, how do I, I don't want to change things to be false in any way, but like, how do I say this in a way that's respectful and truthful and has all of the different aspects, like taking into her side into account and being generous and being, but also, fully expressing my feelings and my position and what my needs are. And I feel it's a delicate area to walk. But also, in a therapy session, you're supposed to be kind of free and not have too many reservations about, and just kind of throw yourself out there so that you can truly feel heard and that you're valid and everything. So, it'll be fun and interesting. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as always, you possess a force greater than your mind. And correct me if I'm wrong.
Go Hawks. I think, by the way, just as a final little addendum.
Tell me.
I think Tuesday, you might have a better sense of this, but I think Tuesday was the 6th, and
right?
I was having a conversation. Oh my God, I have to tell you this. Right.
Ooh, tell me.
I will commit this slightly differently so you can use it. one final thing about the session with my guy on Tuesday.
Oh, tell me.
Because I've been feeling sort of quite good over the last couple of days, Monday, Tuesday, especially, like Tuesday, I was on the bus on the way back, I think, and I had my big coat on, and it's a big parka, and I was sort of sat back on the seat with my big puffy coat and the hood, the big fluffy hood was really cushioning my head really nicely.
Mm.
And I just felt just warm and snuggly and cozy on this bus, and it was lovely. And do you know what I thought?
What do you think?
Imagine needing anything. That was the thought that came to mind.
Yeah.
And I brought that to my guy in on the call. I told him, like, and as I was talking, because I told him about, like, where it came from and us standing in the sun like a couple of goobers.
God, it was amazing.
In this one ray of sunlight in the an otherwise very dark, very quiet, cold landscape.
Yeah. It was so cold.
But we had this one little spot, and it's like, you've got all your basic needs met. You're happy. Imagine needing anything. As I was recounting it, I believe, Brendan, correct me if I'm wrong, that it was a year to the day.
Amazing.
I think it was January the 6th that we went up the mountain.
That sounds right. That sounds right. Oh, funny.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And I really want to tell you, astrologically, January 6th was a day to have hard conversations.
Oh, how lovely is that?
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't remember all the details about it, but then this moon is in the right spot and that planet is in the right position, and these things are opposing that things, and it all means that Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday are the days for hard conversations, starting something new, having new beginnings and effort and energy, and so you can look forward to that tomorrow and the next day.
Perfect.
That's amazing. Imagine needing anything. Oh, I was telling a friend about that the other day too, and just we were standing in that sun, and just felt like it was just bliss. It was just like, oh,
just a perfect, just a perfect moment, a perfect just feeling. not a need, not a care.
Mm-mm.
Not a nag.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Yeah. I don't understand why we're not all dancing.